Hour number three, rolling right along. Thank you for joining us. We are inside the Razorback Camper Sale Studios. Trey Reed joins us later this hour. We'll have the Arkansas Game and Fish report. We'll start this hour off, though, talking Razorback football. Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com, joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. We heard from Brett Bielema, Dan Enos, and defense coordinator Paul Rhodes earlier today. Jimmy was there. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, man. Good. How about you?
I'm good. The highlight, was it Briella coming in and getting to see her? Because I looked at Twitter, and all of a sudden I had all these, you know, I was like, something just happened. I had like 25 updates, and I had to click on it. It was all pictures and video of Briella. So I guess that was a heck of a way to get that thing kicked off.
She stole the show. It was all downhill from there. They really couldn't follow that up. Nah, she was great. She's cute, man. She's got like a full head of hair. She's got more hair than I do, basically. And she's, you know, what, like not even 2 months old. You could tell he was a proud dad, and Jen was there. It was kind of a special deal. I think it was the first day that the staff actually got to meet her, too. So, you know, Dan Enos and Paul Rhodes mentioned how cool it was to get to see her. So, big day for the Bielema family, for sure.
The look on his face, the smile. I mean, I said it was, I described it from ear to ear. You know, dads know that moment. You could tell he is one proud papa.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He was beaming. And, you know, he's a generally upbeat, positive, happy guy. But that smile is a little bit different. And you can tell that she obviously means the world to him. And, you know, Jen was in there. She was all smiles, too. They're just in that happy stage, as they should be. They got a new addition to the family. And you know, you could tell that they're just overjoyed to have her.
All right, let's get to the elevator situation. So everybody's good. There was no one's that's going to have long-term psychological effects. It's now everybody, we can joke about it.
Yeah, you know, I heard that there were maybe a couple guys that had a little bit of claustrophobia. I actually got stuck in the elevator at War Memorial after a game last year. I was by myself, so it wasn't completely cramped. This is a great ad for War Memorial, by the way. But. They had 17 guys in there, so that's completely different, and I can see why they might have been, claustrophobic. I think that they were in there for maybe an hour, so crazy story. Paul Rhodes said that they were waiting for him in the defensive back meeting room. They had maybe four guys that were late and didn't show up, and he's seen it happen before. He said maybe every 2 or 3 years they'll have something like that happen, and generally, and this is the case this time, it's the result of guys being late for a team meeting or a position meeting and trying to cram everybody in the elevator so that they can be less late. And in this case, it ended up costing them like an hour. So it didn't really work out, but obviously nobody had anything seriously go wrong, and they were all able to get out of there. So able to laugh about it today, but apparently Brett Bielema had it happen about 20 times in his career, coaching career. He said, like, he's had guys get stuck on elevators. So maybe more of a common occurrence than we think. But, again, obviously you got a lot of big guys potentially on the elevator. They're not average human beings. So, nobody's seriously hurt. They're all able to just kind of laugh and joke about it today.
All right, Jimmy. One Razorback that you're stuck on an elevator with for 50 minutes, who would you want to be on that elevator with you?
Oh, man. I feel like Ryan Pooley would just talk trash to me all 50 minutes, so maybe not him. I think one of the most interesting guys on the team is Frank Ragnow. The dude has stories. He's hilarious. I think 50 minutes would go by quickly, and it would be a breeze. And I know he could, like, if like they had to climb out of the elevator last night and get guys to pull him up, I know he could easily lift me out of the elevator whenever inevitably help did come and we got out of there. So I think I might go with Frank.
All right, Jimmy, let me ask you our Culligan Water question of the day. Most overlooked, underhyped guy on this team. I gave four options: Austin Cantrell, Andre Tolliver, Carl Rossler, Jonathan Nance. There may be somebody else. Who is somebody that, you know, we're just not talking about, writing about, hearing from?
Yeah, I think all four of those are good options. Andre Tolliver, because Brian Pooley, and I'm probably guilty of this, because I think Brian Pooley's going to be a great player. I think Andre's flown under the radar. The guy for me is maybe Jonathan Nance, out of those four options. He's somebody that, obviously, they got two JUCO receivers, but everybody wanted to talk about Brandon Martin because he was the higher rated of the two LSU commit coming out of high school. Physically, he looks like an NFL receiver. Jonathan Nance was a guy who played defensive back at Southern Miss as a freshman before he transferred. And, you know, really didn't come in with the same type of billing or hype. But he's been very impressive so far. He's been, you know, arguably the most consistent or best receiver during fall camp. And obviously you don't have Jared Cornelius out there because of his back. But they've really, really liked what they've seen from Jonathan Nance. I think the impressive thing or the thing that's helped him most is he's learned the playbook really quickly. So Jared Cornelius, Deion Stewart are two guys who can line up at any of the three receiver positions, X, Y, Z. And they feel like Jonathan Nance, he's only been on campus since the spring. He's able to do that too. And they've got a lot of confidence in him. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's only 6'1", maybe 6'2". But he's got good hands, and I think Austin Allen trusts where he is. He caught two touchdown passes yesterday from Ty Story when Ty got the lead twos in practice. And every quarterback that you talk to really tends to like him because there's a dependability level there, I think, that you get with him. And obviously with so many young receivers on the team, that's kind of, always the question mark is, can you rely on them to be there? Dan Enos said that he likes how they've progressed, and he's pretty happy with the chemistry between a lot of these guys and Austin Allen. But I think based on everything we've heard and then what we saw Saturday, Jonathan Nance has got to be near the top of that list as far as guys that are always where they're supposed to be and that you can rely on to get open and to make the right read, and that's valuable. So I think he's not as sexy a name as maybe some of the other guys. He's not, he doesn't have Jordan Jones speed. He's not Jared Cornelius. He's not proven. He's not, you know, whenever T.J. Hammond gets back, he doesn't have that ability to make plays after the catch like him. But I think consistently he's been one of their more productive guys in fall camp, and maybe falling under the radar a little bit.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter from WholeHogSports.com. It seems like the running back position has been all positive since the loss of Raleigh Williams, that Devlaw is stepping up and doing what he's supposed to do, and they're really happy with Chase Hayden. To me, that's been a bright spot so far in fall camp.
Yeah, I think Chase Hayden is the reason for a lot of optimism there. You know to a certain extent what you're going to get from Devlaw. I think if this season goes according to plan, goes how you would think it would, Devlaw is going to have a chance to be near the top of the SEC in rushing yardage. He's going to get the attempts. He's going to be the go-to guy. And obviously they brought in a guy in David Williams that has experience. He's a bigger guy who can maybe help in short yardage stuff, spell Whaley a little bit, and he's able to pick up blitzes and does a good job in pass protection. So there's value there. But Chase Hayden is somebody who came in, a fairly highly rated recruit. He wasn't just a 4 or 5 star, just some big time guy. But you watch him in high school, and you see all these runs where he's making cuts, he's making people miss, just explosive plays, a lot of speed, and you never know how that's going to translate because somebody can be great in high school and then just not be the same type of player once they're playing against a bunch of other good players. But he's been impressive so far. That same explosion that he had in high school has translated, at least so far, in fall camp. And Saturday, he was clearly the star of the scrimmage. I mean, he on his long touchdown run, made a couple guys miss. It was an inside zone play, and he busted outside, beats the defense to the sideline, goes from the middle of the field, beats him to the sideline, and then is able to outrun everybody to the end zone. That's the starting defense. He was working with the second offense going against the starting defense. And for the most part, the starting defense played pretty well all day and did a good job limiting plays. But Hayden got free for a few ones that were really nice, kind of gave you a glimpse of the athleticism, the change of pace that he brings to the table that I think is what they kind of are excited about with him. He's more of a home run threat that they feel like can pop a big one every now and then. And really what kind of impressed me about him the other day was, man, he's not a big guy, but he was able to like wriggle away from tackles and kind of pinball his way for yards after contact. Like, he didn't go down easily. He was able to sort of fight and get yards after somebody got a hand on him, which I thought was impressive because, again, he's a smaller back. He's by far the smallest back in the rotation. So I think they thought that they had a good guy with him, but he's maybe exceeded their expectations to this point and is now somebody that they think that they can include in the game plan and can maybe give him something this fall.
Jimmy, what's going on at kicker?
Well, Cole Hedlund, he's got some competition for his job. That's what's going on. He hurt his groin and has missed a little bit of practice. He came back this week. But Blake Mazza, he's a true freshman. He's a walk-on from Plano. And he was really impressive Saturday. Brett Bielema has really, really talked him up and basically inferred that it's a competition between those two guys for the place-kicking job. Mazza, to me, looks like he has I can pretty confidently say he has a stronger leg than Hedlund. He apparently hasn't missed a kick during fall camp. Obviously, there's a huge difference between fall camp and doing it in the SEC or against TCU on national television, and we haven't ever seen him in those kind of situations yet. I mean, Cole Hedlund, all spring and fall camp, has been pretty consistently good during his Razorback career. So, and obviously we all know about the inconsistency that sort of plagued him once they get into big games or in the season. So obviously it's not, you know, you can't just say it's going to translate for sure, but I think they really, really like what they got from Mazza. He's somebody that they picked up late. They got him in late April. And, I think they feel like he's somebody who can contribute for them. He's definitely going to push Cole, and I don't think it's out of the question to think that he could at some point kick for them this year. Maybe they start with Cole, but, you know, given the past, I don't think it's out of the question to think that he could get an opportunity at some point. I think they feel at this point that he would be ready for that, and they have confidence in him, which they should, because he's given them every reason to have confidence in him to this point.
Jimmy Carter joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Check him out, wholehogsports.com. Let's move over to the defense, and we heard from Paul Rhodes. I discussed this earlier, but it's got to be great for that secondary for the defense to go up against Austin Allen, because that may be the best, at least pure passer, that they face all year.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that. I mean, he was great last year when he got time, and especially early in the year whenever he was healthy. And he's been great. He was great in the spring. He's been incredible so far during fall camp. They gave him the second half of the scrimmage off Saturday because he's done so well and they wanted to get back up some work. He's made a lot of really good throws. He's so accurate that Paul Rhodes mentioned it today. Like, there's some throws that he makes that you're a defender and you're in great position, but he's putting it where only his guy can catch it. And so the benefit of going against that on a daily basis is great. You know, Bijan Jackson talks all the time about how much it helps him to practice against Frank Ragnow, you know, probably the best center in college football. I think it's, you know, you can only look at it as a positive that the secondary has to work against Austin Allen, probably the best quarterback in the SEC. Guys like Ryan Pooley and Honre Tolliver every day matched up trying to, find a way to get in position to break up passes, to defend guys. And by all accounts, Austin has been healthy. He's obviously a year older, more assertive, and I think they've really been impressed with him to this point. We didn't get to see him go against the starting defense Saturday, which, you know, I think that is probably the more interesting thing. We basically watched him pick apart a couple true freshmen and some less experienced guys, which you would expect. But from everything we've heard, he's been really sharp against the first team defense as well, and I think they've got corners who have proven that they are quality SEC players that he's facing. So it helps them. I think, you know, obviously it's one of the reasons that you feel a little bit better about the receivers being so young is because they've got a guy like that. But obviously it helps both. It works both ways. It helps the defense get better on a daily basis going against somebody like him.
What's the situation with Dre Greenlaw? What's the plan?
So he returned to practice, or I guess he started practicing without limitations this week, and they're going to kind of monitor him moving forward. Obviously, they know Dre Greenlaw can play. They know what he can do. Paul Rhodes mentioned that he gets on the field the other day, and there's 21 guys moving at one speed, and Dre Greenlaw's moving at his own because he's He knows exactly where to go. He's already fast and athletic, and he's got fresh legs because he hasn't really done all that much comparatively to some of the other guys in fall camp. So I think what they're going to do moving forward is try and maybe treat it like a game deal, like a game week situation where maybe he works hard on Monday and Wednesday, but then, you know, the other days he doesn't maybe go as hard, so they can try and preserve him and make sure that they get him in a position where he's healthy and in good shape to start the season. But they're optimistic with how he is. He had a setback a few weeks ago that wasn't related to the foot, so I think they've been cautious with him. But at the same time, at this point, he's healthy, and you know, we're getting closer to the opener, so I think that they're letting him ramp up what he's doing a little bit more. And obviously, that's good news. They need him to be a big-time playmaker for him this year.
Jimmy, great stuff. Thanks for the update from the press conference today. Great to catch up with you. Take care, and we'll talk
to
you soon.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Jimmy Carter on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Check him out, wholehogsports.com.